These Sunday mornings, we are looking at the book of 1 Peter, and the theme that we're using is living in the challenges of life. There aren't any of us who don't face challenges, whether they are financial challenges, spiritual challenges, relationship challenges. We go through difficult times in life, and Peter, in this epistle, is telling us how we can live as Christians as we face challenges. The people that he was writing to in the first century were experiencing many different kinds of challenges to their faith. And Peter wanted to encourage them and tell them how as Christians they were to live. So we live differently than other people. We are supposed to live differently than other people. When other people get proud, we are to be humble. When other people get angry, we are to forgive. When other people lash out and try to get even with someone who has hurt them, we are to live in love. As Christians, we are to live fundamentally different than everyone else. And the problem is, and if we're honest with ourselves as Christians here today, let's be honest, we don't do that. We tend to react just like everyone else reacts, and we tend to live just like everyone else lives. And God wants us to react differently. He wants us to live differently. You see, the Christian life is a strange life. Let's not kid ourselves. Because if we live the way that God wants us to live, then in a sense, up is down and down is up. Jesus said, those who want to be first have to be last. Those who want to rule have to be servants. The Christian life is different, and it's very strange to our way of thinking. Now, in 1 Peter, we have reached chapter 3, and I want you to turn in your Bibles there if you're using a pew Bible. It's on page 815. And in this chapter, Peter is telling us how to live in three of the great areas of life. How we are to live in the family, how we are to live in the church, and how we are to live in the world. Each of these areas, each of these spheres of life have different requirements. They demand something different from us. And we need to live in each of these areas in the right way. Well, last Sunday, we spent our time looking at how we are to live in the family. And today, we're going to look at how we are to live in the church and how we are to live in the world. Let's begin with living in the church. And Peter picks that up in verse 8 of chapter 3. Finally, he says, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now notice, first of all, who Peter is writing to. He says in verse 8, finally, all of you. That is, all of the people that he has been writing to at the beginning of his book, he mentioned them. He said, I'm writing to those believers who have been scattered around the Roman Empire because of the persecution they were facing. Here in verse 8, he says that he refers them as love as brothers, he says. That is, as Christian brothers and sisters. We'll look at that statement in a moment. I just want you to see, first of all, who he's addressing. Some very specific people. People in the church. And that simply means that the primary application for what he's going to say in these verses is to us. People in the church. Now, it's also good advice for dealing with people outside the church, but primarily is how we are to deal with each other in the church. So how are we to live with each other? Well, he gives us seven statements in these verses that are hallmarks of the Christian life. Now, remember, when you read a passage like this and the writer lists a number of things that you are to do, those lists are not meant to be comprehensive. These are not the only things that you are to do, but they are some of the most important things that we are to do. If we get these seven things right, then fundamentally we're on the right track. If we get these things down, we're doing the right things. So Peter tells us, first of all, that we are to have unity in the church. Now, that does not mean that we will all think alike. We will have differences of opinions. It does mean that when we have differences of opinions, we handle them in a godly way. A word that would better describe or would well describe what Peter's talking about here is the word harmony. We are to live in harmony with each other. You know what harmony is? It's when sounds blend together to make a pleasing sound. We had harmony with the worship team this morning. Their voices blended together. Some were singing soprano. Some were singing alto. Some were singing something else. But it all harmonized together. We in the church are to be like musical notes that come together to make a sweet sound. When people out there look at us and metaphorically hear us, they should hear a sweet sound. So Peter says we are to live in unity in the church. He says, secondly, we are to be compassionate. This is actually the Greek word for sympathy. It's made up of two words that mean feeling with someone, even suffering with someone. When I have sympathy, I feel what you feel. That's what compassion is. It's when we can identify with what the other person is going through in their challenges of life. It's not simply feeling sorry for them. It is suffering with them. He says, thirdly, we are to love each other. Do you know how many times Peter says this in this book? In chapter 1, he talks about the sincere love of the brethren. In chapter 2, he says, love the brotherhood. In chapter 3, he says, love as brothers. In chapter 4, he's going to say, have fervent love for one another. In chapter 5, he's going to say, greet one another with a kiss of love. And I even started looking at 2 Peter, and he's still saying it in 2 Peter. In every chapter of this epistle, Peter tells us that we are to love each other. You think it's important? Peter thought it was. He tells us, fourthly, we are to be tender-hearted. Now, some translations have words like be pitiful with each other, or there's even some of the really older translations that use the phrase bowels of mercy. Wow, we don't even talk like that anymore. That just sounds weird. But the idea was that whatever he's talking about was to come from deep within us. The word tender-hearted might be the best way to actually understand this term. That's a picturesque word. We don't use it. Tender-hearted. We're to have care and concern and compassion and tenderness for each other. It comes out of the very depths of our being. This is no superficial thing that Peter's talking about. Fifthly, he says, we are to be kind. Now, my Bible, when I read it, you might have heard, used the word courteous. Not a really great translation. Some translations use the word humble. It's be humble. But there's another word in the Greek that is translated by the word humble in many texts in the New Testament. This is actually the only time this particular word is used in the New Testament, but we know that it was used in other Greek writings. And when it was used in other Greek writings, it had the idea of simply being kind to someone. It's another one of those compound words that when you look at the two words that have been put together, one of the words means friend or friendly, and the other word means to understand or to think. So you could say we need to be friendly of mind to each other. We need to think in a friendly way towards each other. We need simply to be kind. And then Peter gives us one negative out of these seven things. He says we are not to get even. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. When someone in the church does you wrong, your first reaction might be to get even with them. But that's not what God wants you to do. Instead of getting even with them, He wants you, number 7, to be a blessing. There's a reason Peter put those two things back to back. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, in other words, instead of that, blessing. Here's what's interesting about this. Peter says, knowing that you were called to this. You have been called to be a blessing to the other people in your church. That's part of the job description of the Christian. Be a blessing. Can I ask you who you've been a blessing to this morning? Who have you blessed so far today? It's not you're waiting for a blessing. He doesn't say that. He says you be a blessing. And when you are a blessing to others in the church, he says that you may inherit a blessing. You'll get a blessing. Now, here's what often happens in a church. Someone is hurt by someone else in the church. Maybe they said something bad about them. Maybe they were unkind to them. Maybe they ignored them. So the person who's been hurt handles that situation in a very human-like way. They get angry. They go to someone else in the church and say, "Can you believe that so-and-so didn't even speak to me today?" They might try to get even with the person who hurt them. And the result is now we have two people who have sinned instead of just one. And the sin has just spread. And then the person you told, they go tell someone else. And they tell someone else and the sin just keeps growing like little waves in the pond when you throw the rock in. Little ripples. It just keeps going out and keeps going out and keeps going out. Here's how God wants you to handle the situation. Be a blessing to the person who hurt you. That way there's only one person who sinned, and the sin stops with you. You're the firewall for sin. Listen, you're going to be one or the other. You are either going to be the firewall that stops the sin, or you're going to be the reason the sin keeps spreading.